So the text for the sermon this afternoon is Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So far. Well, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Proverbs is a book full of practical wisdom for today's issues. And that is the title of Stephen Vorwinder, former New Testament professor at the RTC. It's the title of his little book on the Proverbs, Practical Wisdom for Today's Issues. It's a topical arrangement of the Proverbs, and in the contents page of his book, we can see that he's located no less than 55 topics. And he's listed all the Proverbs that speak to each of these topics, including money, discipline, giving, the home, truth, political leaders, women, work, parenting, and more. If ever there was a book containing wisdom for everyday's issues, well, Proverbs is it. But how do we gain this wisdom? Well, it's easier said than done. My theology professor, who at the time was close to retirement, had a little plaque hanging on his kitchen wall. And on that plaque it said, "We grow old fast and wise slow." Now, I'm not sure why it was there in the kitchen, but it did help you to realize that the gaining of wisdom isn't something that comes over one automatically. As you get older and as you get grayer, the gaining of wisdom is something that has to be worked on. And Proverbs encourages us to do that. It encourages everyone to gain wisdom. Whether you're male or female, whether you're young or whether you're old, we're never too old to learn, and the process of sanctification doesn't stop at any age. So, how do we actually gain this wisdom? The short answer can be found here in Proverbs 1, verse 7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." In other words, wisdom begins with the acknowledgement that God exists, that God is our creator, that all true knowledge comes from God. That's really the beginning of wisdom, to acknowledge that. And that God made us, and therefore he owns us, and we are accountable to God. And so we should fear the Lord. In other words, we should have a holy, reverent, submissive attitude towards the Almighty, towards our Creator, towards this all-powerful, benevolent God, who is also our Saviour. So then, beginning with that respect, beginning with that reverence for the Lord, in order to grow in wisdom, our text points out four steps. First, we must be willing to receive it. Then we should treasure it or appreciate it, deeply appreciate it. We must also pray for it. And then finally, it has to be worked for as well. But first we need to receive it, and receiving is both God's work and ours. Verse 1 reads, "My son, if you'll receive my sayings." My son is a common introduction in Proverbs, and it does emphasize the importance of the parent-child relationship, especially for fathers to take an active role in training up their children. And mothers do a lot of teaching too, and Solomon recognizes this, hence chapter 1, verse 8, do not forsake your mother's teaching. But it seems that according to Solomon, fathers need more encouragement, perhaps than mothers. They need more encouragement to actively teach their children by their own examples as well as through instruction and talking to them. One of the greatest evils in society today, I believe, is where men father children and then leave them for the mothers to raise up. There's too much of that happening nowadays. And why do men father children and leave them for their mothers to raise up? It's because their hearts are not right. They're completely selfish, self-centered, not at all focused on the Lord, don't fear the Lord, and simply go their own way. So when it comes to the gaining of wisdom, the message in verse 1 is that you need to be willing to accept it or to receive it, and that has to do with your heart. It has to do with your inner being. Are you receptive to the word of God? Are you open to accepting the wisdom of God's word, or are you closed to it? If you're receptive and open to being taught from God's word, then this is really the work of the Holy Spirit. Earlier we read in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, and that in that parable the Lord Jesus explained that the word of God goes out, but is not received the same way by everyone. There are some who hear the word and it has absolutely no effect on them. They resemble the seed which fell by the side of the road and was trampled underfoot. Jesus' explanation of that illustration was that they hear the word, but then do absolutely nothing with it. The devil takes it away from their hearts, and so they don't believe, and therefore they are not saved. It has absolutely no impact on their lives. They prefer, for example, the company of unbelievers rather than the company of God's people. They're too steeped in sin and rebellion even to be able to receive it. Then Jesus also describes two other classes of people who initially seem to accept the word, but that their hearts are like rocky or thorn-infested soil. In other words, they would hear the word and initially might believe it, even receive it with some joy, but it only goes to a point. They're not interested in going deep into the word. And so while they might receive it initially with joy, it's no long-term or lasting impact. And the others are so busy making money, spending it, doing what they want to do, working on Sundays perhaps, that there's no time really for any spiritual life, and worship diminishes, personal devotions are squeezed out of the agenda, faith ebbs away. That's the thorny soil, the person who's preoccupied with the things of the world, with the mundane, the creaturely, the material things, and has no time for the Creator, no time for the deeper questions of faith, the spiritual life or eternal life. And then our Lord describes the person who's like the cultivated soil, which produces good fruit or a good crop. That person receives the word, drinks deeply from the word, and profits greatly from the word. That person becomes a church builder. That person is a blessing in his community or her community, and is an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of us without exception would have hard, stony, or thorny hearts, unable to accept the word of God. But we have, and we do, accept the word of God. Why? And the answer is seen in the Lord Jesus' words, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. The ability to receive the word of God is given to those hearts who have been transformed by the Holy Spirit who are born again, as the Lord Jesus puts it in John chapter 3, who are regenerated in the power of the Holy Spirit, as Paul puts it in Titus chapter 3, and who then believe. And isn't that what Paul writes in Ephesians 2 as well? By grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's a gift. It's a gift of God. It's a precious gift. So according to Hebrews 11 verse 3, by this gift of faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Or according to 1 Corinthians 2:11, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, and we have not received the Spirit of the world. We have received the Spirit who is from God. Further on in Proverbs chapter 8, Solomon personifies wisdom as wisdom calling out and speaking to us. It goes like this: I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech. I have understanding and power. I love those that love me. Now, since the Old Testament provides much content and background for the New Testament, we have here in these Proverbs in chapter 8 the background for the New Testament's portrayal of Jesus Christ as the divine Word of God, as the wisdom of God. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. So getting back to the question, how do you receive wisdom? How can you? Well, it's a matter of the heart, and it depends on whether or not you believe, whether or not you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So do you accept Christ as the divine Word? Have you received him as your Savior? And then do you receive God's Word in its entirety as his Word, as his wisdom for you? That's the first thing. We are to receive it, and that is a work of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a work in which we cooperate. And there's the free offer of the gospel that calls every man, woman, and child to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. The next step is to really treasure wisdom. Solomon wrote, if you treasure my commands within you, and in verse 3, if you search for her as hidden treasures. Now that begs the question of all of you here today. What do you treasure? What is important to you? And do you value the Word of God and value his wisdom? Now we can think of the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 and 20, where he urges his disciples not to store up earthly treasures where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but to store up treasures in heaven. In other words, he asks us, urges us to treasure those things in life that have eternal rather than merely temporal value. And so he asks us to think about who will you spend eternity with? You'll spend eternity with the people of God. Will we take our houses, our cars, our bank accounts with us? No. That's not to say we don't need them in the here and now to live and serve God with. But if we spend all of our time working for money, the things that money can buy, focusing on that all of our time, then we might just be rich in earthly treasure but run the risk of becoming like the rich fool who lay up treasure for himself but was not rich towards God. Are you rich towards God? Do you value what God gives you? Do you have a Bible close at hand in your room? And is that Bible important to you? And do you refer to it often? Consult the Bible. for daily guidance? Do you have a library? What is in your library? Do you have books? Nowadays, I guess a lot of these things are electronic, but never mind. Do you have books written by godly authors on subjects like marriage and the family from a Christian perspective, or prayer, or ethics, which is theology applied to all kinds of issues in everyday life? Do you have any of those books? Do you have any good books that tell you about other Christians, such as biographies or mission biographies? Do you have these? And what magazine articles do you read? What about Faith and Focus? I mean, our session provides Faith and Focus for its members out of the church's budget, so that we can all receive a copy of that, read some good stimulating articles that touch on matters of faith. Do you value your church, your denomination? What do you value? To gain wisdom, we need to receive it, but we also need to treasure it and to value the things that God gives us as the most important things that we have. Then Solomon wrote, "If you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding and look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure," in these verses, what do we see there? We see the spirit of prayer, don't we? Calling aloud, crying, calling out, crying aloud. The spirit of prayer, which Solomon also possessed, and we know about that from the time that he first became king. We read about that in 1 Kings 3, verses 9 to 12, where he asked God. He prayed to God for a discerning heart, for the ability to make wise judgments, to discern, distinguish between right and wrong, and the Lord answered his prayer. And he gave Solomon that wise and discerning heart. Someone once said that earthly wisdom is gained by study. Heavenly wisdom is gained by prayer. Yes, we can study long and hard, even theology. Think of Lloyd Gearing, who was a professor of the Old Testament in Knox Theological College years ago. Household name in New Zealand, I think, certainly among some church-going people, but ended up calling himself a Christian atheist. We can study long and hard and still not be wise because we continue to lean on our own understanding, see things through our own sinful, unsanctified mindset. We can study hard, become biblical scholars, and still not be wise. It's through prayer that we become wise, that we gain wisdom and receive understanding. The Psalms of David teaches this, for example, in Psalm 119, verse 18, where it says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." Paul prayed for this. He knew that it was important, and so he prayed for it in his letter to the Ephesians when he wrote, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." And so it tells us, reminds us that we cannot really grow wise without prayer, because it's the Lord who gives us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The Lord is the one who gives us light. And so there's got to be this active habit of prayer in order to increase in wisdom, because who is sufficient for these things in his or her own strength? And there are many examples of godly prayer in the Psalms of David, Psalms that we can read and pray with as well, and the letters of Paul. We know that Paul was on his knees time and time and again in prayer, and even our Lord Jesus Christ. It was his habit often during his earthly ministry to pray. So we must receive it, treasure it, pray for it, and then search for it or work for it. Look at verse 4. If you look for it as silver, search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come understanding. And the picture that we get there is of a miner and his efforts to reach that vein of silver that's hidden deep down in the ground. And he digs and he digs and he perseveres and he's sweating. He goes down deeper and deeper until he strikes. And is he content with the first strike? No. He keeps digging. There's got to be more silver down there. And he goes deeper into the ground until he has got the lot. That's how it is with the wisdom of God. We don't become instantly wise when we, say, first believe or do our public profession of faith. No, we gain wisdom through the believing, prayerful study of God's Word. And studying isn't merely reading the Bible, unless you've got a photographic memory. Well, just reading will probably give you a superficial grasp of God's Word, but really studying the Bible, cross-referencing, looking at dictionaries, good commentaries, attending Bible studies, that's how we grow in the knowledge of God's Word. That's how we can dig deep into the treasures that we find in God's Word. There is preserved in a museum a few pages of Paul's letters that Queen Elizabeth I possessed during her imprisonment by Bloody Mary, the Queen of Scots. And here and there, there are notations written by Elizabeth I in the margins, showing her to be a serious student of God's Word. And one of these notations reads as follows. I walk many times into the pleasant fields of the Holy Scriptures, where I pluck up the goodlisome herbs of sentences by pruning, eat them by reading, chew them by musing, lay them up at length in the high seat of memory, that by gathering them together and having tasted their sweetness, I may the less perceive the bitterness of this miserable life. As it turned out, such wisdom helped Elizabeth I champion the cause for the Reformation of the Church in England, and in 1563 adopt the 39 Articles, which, like our confessions, was a Protestant confession of the Christian faith. Well, that's wisdom in action. And so when you search the Scriptures, when you do that prayerfully with a believing heart and come to know your Bible, then you too grow in wisdom, are better equipped for life, come what may. And you'll also be laying up treasures in heaven, demonstrating a certain richness towards God, growing in those two great principles of godliness, the fear and the knowledge of God. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for the treasures that we do have in your word. And thank you what encouragement that we gain from your word, because time and time again we see your love and your grace in that word, and we see the Lord Jesus Christ in every page. We thank you, Father, too, for the guidance that we have from your word, that we can order our lives profitably according to that word, that we understand what it means to be rich towards you and to store up treasures in heaven. So, Father, help us to value it greatly and to continue all the days of our life to treasure it and study it prayerfully, that we might not only profit from it or advance your kingdom, but also glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.